This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and thank you for the introduction. You are listening to the Christian War Room here on BPN Radio and on Seismic Radio as well. And don't forget to check out our website, which is christianwarroom.com. And all of these talks are going to be there. Very important as well, because some of the points which are made in some of the talks here, you know, they are quick, you know, we go over them and move on. And you might be wanting to just look back at these talks and pick up on a few points. Okay, what is the purpose of all this? And I make this point all the time. You need, and Christian War Room is just a concept, you know. Paul talks about warfare all the time in the New Testament. We've got, you know, fight the good fight, be a soldier for Christ. We've got the concept of Paul talking about, you know, tearing down strongholds which set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And we find this in our society more than ever before. 20, 30 years ago, we had a Christian society. We had society which was based on a Judeo-Christian ethos. And even if people didn't believe in God, they were still following basic precepts of Christianity. Now, all of this has been thrown overboard. We've got a post-modernist society. We've got a society that's ruled by minority, by the dictate of a minority who tries to enforce their values and tries to impose them on us. And they are very successful in doing so. And the big question is, how did they ever manage to do this? How could they turn society upside down? And we find it all started sort of in the 60s. And it might have been sort of a response to the very stuffy 40s and, you know, ideas which were emanating from the 40s, like fascism and socialism and Marxism and all this stuff, which were very authoritarian and autocratic. And there might have been a response of an anti-authoritarian society, or the dream of an anti-authoritarian society where everybody can do his own thing. And then they were pushing this in higher educational institutions. And what we find is, as the time goes on, and that they train the teachers of the future. The teachers of the future subscribe to a lot of these ideas and a lot of these concepts. And suddenly we've got this post-modernistic, secularism, atheistic philosophy, which is then suddenly pushed down into education and into, you know, those people who are now the upcoming generation, you know, the millennials and below. And we find that the set of values the upcoming generation has, the set of values the upcoming generation has got nothing to do with with the set of values of the previous generation. So it's some sort of airy-fairy, you know, we need to be nice to everybody, no more principles, don't offend me, I'm a very sensitive person kind of set of values, and where anything is acceptable, providing it's within the leftist framework. And it sounds very horrible to some extent, but I think that's pretty much what's happening today, and that's what we find. Okay, so again, I already made the point, the biggie, what's happened is that the leftist agenda has taken over the educational establishments. And the stuff that's being taught in schools is pretty much what comes down from the government. And then I see this. I work in education. I see this all the time, where we have to subscribe to ideas which are pushed down from the government, which in my mind are just ludicrous. And even though I teach engineering, I suddenly have to teach people, you know, to be loving and kind, and which, again, there's nothing wrong with that, but to be tolerant. And there we've got the problem. How can I be tolerant towards somebody who writes on his banner to be very intolerant and to even wanting to kill me unless I agree with him? Yeah. But anyway, that's sort of swept under the carpet. You need to be tolerant, end of story. You need to tolerate everything. And that is one of the great British values. And this is the kind of stuff which has to be pushed out there. again, big problem. And I think it's partly a short-sightedness. It's maybe reactionary in a sense that there is this problem, that there is a fringe element in society who is highly intolerant, and I need to embrace it. That's basically what they are saying. Yeah. And then on the other side, they recognize that they've got a problem with that as well, and they tell you what you need to do in case there's a terrorist attack by one of these guys, that you need to run, hide, and tell. Yeah. It's just a very crazy world we're living in. I want to talk about, and this is a war room element, and some of it is happening already, and I've seen this in America, and I'm very impressed by what's been done in America, and some of it is coming here in the UK as well. And and that is the whole thing about education. Very few people realize that the education we enjoy today is a result of Christians. And what's been happening is that if you go back about 150 years and we go back to the Industrial Revolution, that there was a revival in the 1800s, 1850s. A lot of people came to Christ. A lot of people wanted to know about God. And there was a desire to be able to read the Bible. And a lot of people were just laborers, yeah, part of the Industrial Revolution, dispensable labor. So they were put in some factory or in a mine. They were digging out coal. They got a little bit of money, enough to eat. And that was it. But these people, they wanted to read the Bible themselves. And so churches started responding to this need, and they started teaching people how to read and write. And that's where the concept of the Sunday school comes from, where the laborers didn't have to work on a Sunday, and that was their opportunity to learn how to read and write. And then later, you know, as literacy was progressing, they used it for their kids, yeah, to teach them how to read and write. And you got suddenly public education. Eventually the state took it over. And now the state wants to control education. And we've got some really bad things as well. We've got that stuff is educated, or elements of education have been taken over by the state, which really belongs to the parents. And there's quite a bit of conflict in there as well, including bad education. I know the politicians here in this country, they said in one instance, if anybody or any school, any Christian school, for example, teaches that evolution, the theory of evolution, is wrong, then funding has to be withdrawn and the school has to be shut down. I think that was the call. I don't know whether they ever pushed it through. Christian schools are allowed in this country. Private education is allowed in this country. They had to do this because they wanted to protect the upper classes who would have their private schools and who wouldn't ever dream of sending their kids to a normal public school. And so, fortunately, because of the circumstances, this vacuum in the law, or this little hole in the law, that Christians could set up their own schools, but very often without government funding. Interesting thing as well, what's happening here in the media, here in the BBC, I was listening to a report from a guy who's doing his PhD, and apparently he's been through the Christian school system. His mother joined up with the church at one stage, and she decided that this was a good idea. He went to this Christian school, and he didn't really take to it. He didn't like it. And he's now doing a PhD, and the PhD consists on writing about his negative experience and dishing out a lot of bad reports about Christian schools and trying to lobby the government to close them all down. So it's one person, that's all, one person. It's quite interesting as well. The Christian school where I went to is not far from where I live. And I've got some friends as well who used to live near there. And one of my friends told me, and I said, look, you know, I've just been listening to this report. And he's, by the way, he's a Christian as well. And I said, what was it like? You know, do you know anybody who's been to this Christian school? And he said, yeah. One of his friends, you know, when he was little, so he's now in his 40s. One of his friends, when he was a school kid, went to this school. And he went through the education through this school. And because they encourage you to learn independently. And they've got a very different approach, a very different didactic to government schools. And he said, like, he's now retired and he's a millionaire. You know, he's had some business and he did very well in it. And, you know, he's in his early 40s and he's retired. He doesn't do anything anymore. He just, and that's as a result of being at the school. So he did really well out of it. I had a look at some of the Ofsted reports, and they were really good. They were very glowing. Even though the school has got a very clear Christian bias, Ofsted didn't pick up on it, and they said that other religions are taught as well, and that the school is okay as far as diversity and other things are concerned as well. And this guy called Scaramanga, that's the name of the guy who's been bad-mouthing the school, and he used to go there as well. And obviously bad-mouthing not just the school, but Christianity and everything in general. And again, being on the BBC, you know, big public program and big lobbyist, and he's been lobbying to shut, as I said before, all these schools down, and he felt that that he was shortchanged having to go to this school. Needless to say, you know, he's doing his PhD now, so if he can engage in university education, even if it is against the very thing that's trained him up to do so, they can't be that bad. Anyway, the problem we have is that education has been taken over by the secular lobbyists and by the secular element in society, and a lot of subjects are forced on kids which don't belong there, really, in my opinion. So you've got the whole thing about, you know, modern thing, the LGBT issue, the transgenderism, the family model. You know, I've seen a report recently that in Germany that it's no longer taught, the traditional family is no longer taught, but we've got some other stuff they try to teach, the non-traditional family. There is the three R's, and it's interesting, reading, writing, and arithmetic, which seem to suffer quite a little bit. And I can talk about this as well as an educator, because I get to see kids who have been through the school system and who haven't done very well and who have got real problems with the three R's, yeah, of the reading, writing, and arithmetic thing, like math, you know, and then just normal reading and being able to communicate in written English. It's a big problem these days, a very, very big problem. Okay, so what do we need to do? And the war room, I would say we need to claw back education. We gave education to the West, to the Western world, and that is as Christians. The state is taking it over, and the state is now making big mistakes within the context of education. We need to claw it back. We need to find ways to claw back education. And that's maybe a think tank or a war room activity to see how can we do this? How can we educate our kids ourselves? I mean, one of them is we can simply set up Christian schools. I've known a couple of people who have done it. They've just used church premises, bearing in mind that from Monday morning to Friday late afternoon, there's very little taking place, maybe a couple of Bible studies during the week in the evening, but not during the day. And people have been using churches to set up small schools and to use, you know, curriculum that's available to prepare kids for life. And why not? I mean, that is one option, and that is one way how we can claw back education and teach our kids what we feel they need to know. And again, very, very important to do this. Also, I mean, there's a lot more as well. When I was studying the revival in the last century, I know that a lot of people started doing their own Bible translations because they weren't happy with the translations that were available. I know the story from Germany where people came together and they tried to read the Bible in Greek and Hebrew. And again, the question is, why don't we, within the church, provide facilities where we run theological seminaries, maybe as a night school or an evening school? We've got everything there. We've got all the facilities there. We can hook up with even with Christian universities and try to even get funding for that, or to get to get an awarding body behind it as well, to qualify whatever is achieved within those classes. Now, the big question is, why don't we do this? Why don't we take 2 nights out in our church. We offer a theological course. We cover theology. We cover Greek and Hebrew, the biblical languages. We cover a little bit of of other theological subjects which are necessary, and do this as a night class, yeah, in our churches, and sort of try maybe a system where people can roll on and roll off at any time, and where we can lead them into an understanding of the Bible. And it can be fun, it can be good, but again, the point is we need to claw back education. We shouldn't have education being run by secular institutions, by people who do not embrace Christ and who follow a different agenda. It's very, very important. Okay, idea, what could we do? What could we do in our churches? What subjects could we cover? I mean, one of them is hermeneutics, you know, how to interpret the Bible. Then is, you know, just the Bible itself, Old and New Testament studies. There's a big one for Christian basics as well, to induce new Christians into the whole idea of biblical doctrine and what the Bible is all about. There's a need for a Bible overview. I find a lot of Christians haven't read the Bible from A to Z and really struggle to do it. And it might help to just have a Genesis to Revelation course where people are allowed to get an overview on you know, what is really written in the Bible, what is in there. There are other elements as well which we could look at. Church history is, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned it before, but that's a big one as well, where we look back into the history of the church, of what has been happening in the last 2,000 years. Again, a lot of people don't have the slightest bit of understanding, and they don't realize that the freedoms we have today very often are based on the blood shed by our spiritual ancestors, who, you know, if they said the wrong word, or they just said that they had a Bible, or in one instance in England, and this is sort of going back in the early 1600s, where parents got executed because they taught their children to pray the Lord's Prayer in the vernacular language, in English, and not in Latin. And that is, you know, people don't know this stuff. They don't know this stuff. And we need to get this information out there. We need to claw back education. Maybe use, you know, the facilities we have, use our churches to try and set something up, set up courses on various aspects within the Bible, and maybe qualify our people as well who do a course. And it might be, I mean, for some people, the first qualification they've got after they leave school might help them as well in the professional life if it can be proven that they have, you know, done very well within this. Or it doesn't even need to be qualified. The main thing is that we need to get this education back. Another big one is the whole thing about creationism. We need to teach creationism, and we need to make sure that whatever our kids are taught at school is counterbalanced by a good teaching of creationism, and also in contrast to the theory of evolution, of what is possible and what isn't possible. So it's very, very important to do this as well. Another thing which I think we should do is look at the whole structure of family life, you know, the normal family stuff, which probably about 20, 30 years was, you never needed to talk about this because everybody knew it. Today, people just haven't got a clue anymore. We need to let people know, you know, how should a man behave as a man? How should a woman behave as a woman? How should a child behave as a child? How should a grandparent behave as a grandparent? Just simple, ordinary, common sense ways of living need to be taught as well to some extent or another. And the problem is that what we find in our schools today is pretty much the opposite. It's a very distraught view we have to have on education in the 21st century. Another thing, and I find this as an educator, we get, and I've seen this for about 20 years, that I get kids from schools, you know, and obviously they're not the high flyers, otherwise we would have kept them on for A-levels, but that the very basics, they're not there. And very often it doesn't take an awful lot to really teach them these basics, and they're not stupid or anything like that, but they don't understand basic math. They don't understand basic English. They can't spell. They struggle reading as well. And then we get them when we are supposed to teach them engineering. And then sometimes I find myself trying to explain to them how to divide one number with another one, or what a fraction means. And this might be an opportunity for the church as well to just offer short courses on, for example, algebra, or on mathematical rules, or things like that, where kids, you know, who are struggling at school and probably, I'm not sure whether they get failed by the teachers or by the system, but they're not picking up the information they need to pick up, where they may have a second chance to, to do well and to get a qualification. And so one idea might be, you know, to just cover all the stuff that's necessary for a GCSE or for a level 2 qualification. Again, I'm not sure what you have in America, maybe the high school diploma, that there are some qualifications. So it's just to prepare them and to cover everything, maybe in a 10-week course or something, where they can come to church and you've got some sessions where you cover, you know, basic education and try and fill the holes which are left over by society. And again, it sounds very foreign for us today, but we have to bear in mind that when we go back about 150 years, education was run by the church, and it was taken away from the church as time went on. But originally, education for the poor people was all done within the church, and we need to take hold of this concept again and maybe inject something into society where society is failing and where we traditionally have been very good, and we should sort of latch onto this again. Just an idea, and I would encourage you to do this, you know, bring education back into the church, and it might be an outreach opportunity as well. So, for example, if you run a course on how to maintain your car, yeah, how to do an oil change, how to, you know, make sure your battery is okay and the water levels are okay, and you just put a small curriculum together, I'm sure you probably might get a lot of people interested. For basic car maintenance, you know, what air pressure do you put in your tires? What happens if the air pressure is too high or too low, and things like that? So, I mean, that might be something you could offer within a church context, and it would be an inroads for people to, you know, they've learned everything about a car. They found out that you're not crazy people, so they may as well come to church and see what the church is all about, and may open up for Christ as well. It's a little bit of a roundabout way, but again, you know, bear this in mind. Education within Britain and within Germany, possibly as well, America, a lot of schools in the 1800s, they were actually inside churches, especially in the countryside. So why not? You know, why not latch onto this and go back to our roots and offer education, lifelong education, education in various parts of life to the people in our community, and use this at the same time as a means to reach out to them and to preach the gospel to them in one form or another. We don't have to take a hammer and hammer it into them, but we can do this. Yeah, we can do this, and we can offer something to them. And it's interesting as well, because when you look at education, when I look at education in Britain now, it's become very, very expensive. It was all state-sponsored and free. So if you wanted to do a course in engineering or whatever, you didn't have to pay anything for a long time. Then you had to pay a small fee. Now you have to pay quite a lot, and that pretty much killed adult education. And as a church, we can compete in that area, because we can possibly offer courses for free, do it on a voluntary basis. We don't have to pay for the buildings. The buildings are there anyway. Or we can just open it up for donation or for a small fee, you know, and compete in serious ways and manners with the college, and you know, teach people in certain aspects of, you know, information they need, or you know, whatever they have to do. And I don't know. Think about educational things you can offer, and people very often today, they are clueless. You could offer, you know, how to teach people how to cook. Yeah. with basic elements. A lot of people these days don't know this, especially when they start off in life. They haven't learned how to cook. They've been just living off fast food chains, and it's a bit of a problem. You can teach people basic first aid, you know, have some first aid courses within the church. Again, very important skills to have. You can teach people on life skills, you know, how to raise up your kids, maybe have a program in there, have a counseling course, maybe have courses, on DIY, you know, how to change a fuse, how to, paint your wall and things like that, and run a small course in that area, maybe run an art class as well for people to just get out of the home and learn how to draw a picture. Have a course in basic language skills or mathematical skills as well, which, again, for many kids these days, it's a big need out there. Again, I'm not giving you answers. I'm not giving you definitive suggestions. All I'm trying to get you is to think about it and to claw back education from the state and to bring education back into the church and make it as a means to reach out to your local community, which I think is missing and has been missing for a long, long time. And let people know that, there are people out there who really care. There are people out there who have got something to offer to the community, and the church is there to help and to do something. And again, this is stuff for the war room. You need to get together with your friends and think about this, see what is needed, see what you can do, come up with an answer, and then go into the offensive, try it out and see what works and what doesn't work, see whether it resonates with the local community. And the most important thing is, like always, is you need to pray about it. Just seek the wisdom of God and what you can do if you try and embark on this route, the route of education. Okay, get cracking, try and set it all up, try and get it going. It will be very rewarding, I'm sure. I can say this as an educator. I've done it for 25 years now. There's nothing more rewarding when, you teach people for 1 or 2 years and you don't see them for a long time. And one day they come back and sometimes they tell you that it's really helped them, that they really learned something. And they thank you for what you've taught them. And that is actually quite amazing. This is a very elevating feeling where normally you don't see anything. If you build something with your hands, you see the product at the end of it, like if you build a house or whatever. But if you teach, you never really see the result until, a long time after. And it's nice when you can inject something into people's lives. More importantly, so it's even nicer if people warm up to the church, they warm up to Jesus. And they take it one step further and they start asking questions. What about this Jesus? What about the stuff you're doing here? What has he done for me? And you can give to them the biggest gift anybody can give to them. And that is, you can lead them to the point of salvation where they surrender their life to Christ. And, when you've got heaven shouting in joy because another soul has given their lives to Jesus. Lord, we want to pray, Father, for wisdom and for opportunities to build up centers of education in our churches and to claw back the education that's been taken away from us. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will raise up people within the church to educate and to teach people towards a better life. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.